Listen and stream the all-new talk radio Freedom 106.5 for the only talk that matters.
As I said to you all earlier on, we do have a special interview at this time, usually on Fridays, since the beginning of the year actually. We've been using our Friday programs to look deeper into ourselves, what makes us who we are. We started off by looking at our country, our culture, and that of course focused heavily on carnival and carnival related activities. It's morphed into much more now. We've had several other topics as the series continued. Today we're going to be looking into something that occupies a lot of our time when it comes to entertainment. We've been seeing videos on social media and YouTube and everywhere else that you could find them, and we have a number of persons who fulfill the role of vlog and teach us a lot about who we are and some of the things that many of us aren't aware of here at home. Joining us, we have two gentlemen. Let me say good morning and welcome to photographer and foodie vlogger, that's David Wares. Good morning to you.
Good morning to you, sir.
Nice to have you with us here this morning. And our second guest this morning, food blogger as well, Zach Mustafa.
Good
foodie
morning.
Tales with Zach. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Satish.
Nice to have both of you all with us. We were supposed to have others. Unfortunately, they aren't able to make it this morning. That was Rendell and Melina Robinson of Rendellina Reviews. But it is what it is. As I do with most of my guests on this segment, I'll give you the opportunity to familiarize the listener with just who you are and some of the things that you're involved in. Let's begin with David. Tell us about who you are and some of the things you're involved in when it comes to vlogging.
Hi, and good morning to everyone out there. My name is David Wares, and I go under the synonym Foodie Run TT. This started in around 2016 when I discovered that I had a bit more power than the usual suspect in terms of social media. This was earlier in social media when Facebook was the main provider, and I was able to relate food-wise on certain subjects, and it would be really and truly it gave power to me, because I began talking about stuff that I had a personal passion for.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Satish, you might know my history is in photography.
Yes.
And from my photography I was able to get quite a following, because again, through social media, this is much earlier, 2008, I was able to literally travel the world through my photography, following the Trinidad culture in its carnivals. I was able to attend many carnivals around the world, and from there I began to take on the passion of what I love, which is my food and my local foods. So through that, my first main attention was to Wally Smokehouse back in the day. From there to this day, actually, people still go there saying, David, where send me? And that has been proven to work, and I've been able to continue this and really and truly follow a lot of foods. I'm not as commercial as some of the others, because I believe in finding food, and it doesn't necessarily have to be the best. It shouldn't be the most popular. So I like to find everything from a doubles vendor to, yes, up. And when I talk from my heart, and the following is there.
Let's tell us a bit about your foray into this thing, food blogging.
So I actually started just a few years after David. David was actually my usher into food blogging, because he kind of assisted me in introducing me to different businesses and opportunities, like Trinidad and Tobago Restaurant Week that showcases every year in September. We did coverage for that, and that was like my introduction into food blogging. But I just had a passion for food, and similar to David, I started when it was just Facebook. There was no Instagram or TikTok or Snapchat or anything like that. It was strictly, I think we were now moving from High Five to Facebook, if I'm not mistaken. So it was quite, I can't even remember how much years, maybe about eight years ago, maybe about that.
Mm-hmm.
And basically I started my platform on Facebook, doing food reviews. Similar to David, I like to go out there and I like to find these small places, these small hidden gems that have the really good food that nobody knows about, has no social media pages and that kind of stuff. Those are the places I like to highlight, because I think those are the places that really deserve the highlight at the end of the day. And then from there, it has just kind of catapulted. When Instagram came about, I created an Instagram page and started doing photo content. And back then, we have only moved to video content within the last year or so. Before that, it was all photos. So I love photography as well. And I love food, and I kind of merged it into one. And then I started doing the reviews on Instagram and pretty much just blew up from there.
Did any of you, when you began this, was there a business plan, or was it just for the love of it? Was it just a pastime, something that let me see what happens with this thing?
It was a hobby. It was a pure hobby. There were no business. I think the one thing I looked forward to the most was probably getting some free food.
Yeah.
I think that was pretty much it. There was no plan of really ever turning it into a business. It was something, because I have a regular 8-to-4 job. So it was really something on the side that kind of took my mind off of that. I could do something to relax. I enjoyed sharing good food to people, and I enjoy the reactions of when people try it and then they reach back out and they're like, yeah, that dopamine rush you get when people come back and be like, yeah, that food was real good, boy. That's true. Thanks for the recommendation. I think that is kind of the thing that kept me going throughout, and not really aligning to a business path, more like just enjoying that natural vibes of it.
Yeah. David, what about you?
Well, it's basically the same. I found my love for it, and being able to transmit that to my followers, and again, you get great feedback, as I said. That is the love. Business plan? No, I still don't. I still consider this something that I'm really passionate about, so therefore I keep it simple. While I do have the other platforms, TikTok, Instagram, and others, my Facebook is what I really stay on, mainly because I still have the freedom to write. I am not too much into the video blogging. I love my photography. I use my phone, and being able to write about the food and being able to talk the talk of food and being able to share my passion, and as a lot of my feedback is, people want to lick the pictures. Or when they read, they salivate when they read my writings. That is my joy.
Okay, let's get into the nitty-gritty of how you get the job done. I using the term job, even though both of you have said this is a pastime and a hobby, and you just started off looking for free food and trying to find places that nobody else knew. What do you need? Because while it may not be a business for you, it might not be a job for you, it may not be anything along those lines, for many people, it is. It is a means of making money. It is a means of taking care of themselves. And it's a job for some people, even though it's not for you. So to people listening into us this morning who may say, I go all over the place. I could take a picture or two. I probably could shoot a video. Is it just that simple? Can people just use a phone? And what else do they need to get this thing up and running? Or does it require much more than that?
Well, they require... Well, there's a commercial viability in this industry, and yes, it is an industry, and I really like to look at how Zach and a couple of the other foodies tend to take it on. The end result or the base of it is that your passion for food and being able to transmit that passion. You must be able to tell your audience or show your audience what it is you love about the food. There are a lot of, how could I put it? There are a lot of people who would just like to jump in and say, well, look, I could take a picture of your food and I have a following of 5,000 people, as if that really and truly that is just a drop in the bucket. But the whole point about it is you must be able to share your passion, and from there, you develop the interest of people watching you, and that is how you build your base. Well, maybe Zach could expound on that, because that doesn't work.
Yeah, piggybacking off of what you said, mm-hmm. essentially, is that yes, anybody could take a phone, take a picture of a box of food and upload it. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, is really what is the motivating factor behind that? Is it that you just want to become popular on social media, or do you actually have a passion for showcasing this food? What is your real intention behind doing it? So it is all based upon your intentions. If you are a blogger, a fashion blogger, and you do food on the side, then in my opinion, that's okay. But that's not necessarily something that I would probably take 100% as a review, because I would prefer it to be coming from a place where somebody is 100% about this and 100% into this, where I could actually take that information and know, well, they have put 100% of their effort into bringing this review to me, and that I could take on. So as I said, you can do it. Anybody could take their phone up and snap a picture and upload it, but what intentions do you have behind doing that? Is mm-hmm. it that you want to most of the photos that I've seen people doing that, unfortunately, is to criticize a restaurant or to bad review something. And of course, that trends on social media like wildfire. But at the end of the day, I think you just really need to do it with what you have in mind as your intention, your base intention.
Mm-hmm. I have a real passion for these food videos and bloggers and reviews and so on. And it started a long time ago with a gentleman named Anthony Bourdain. Mm-hmm. And No Reservations. That was my introduction to this type of entertainment, for want of a different term.
Yeah.
What I found refreshing about him was, yes, there was an element of food, but there was an element of culture and history and value that went along. It was like going on a trip without leaving your house. And Anthony Bourdain would take you on that journey, and he would teach you all these other things, these nuances about people's and their culture and how things came to be the way they were, while enjoying the food and a good drink now and then. And then and after Anthony Bourdain became the other one was Bizarre Foods with Andrew Zimmerman.
Yeah.
That exposed a total different perspective when it comes to food and what some people might find disgusting, other people see it as a regular meal, and it shows the differences in cultures and everything else. That has morphed since both of them into so many different people.
Mm-hmm.
Getting involved in this thing, and there are so many different subsects now that you can look at to find what you're looking for. And another one that I found myself, Mark Wiens, of course, is very popular. He was here.
Yeah.
We know that. And Best Ever Food Review Show with Sunny.
Sunny, yeah.
Because he does things a little differently.
Correct.
Almost like a mix between Anthony Bourdain.
And he dives deep into the culture as well.
Yeah, he does. So it's much more than just about the food. Here at home, we have a proliferation of persons who have videos and profiles and everything else on social media. Mm. And they're all in their own way trying to do something.
Yeah.
As to how successful some of them are, that's debatable. You see people getting the likes and the views and everything else. Yeah. To me, I find that there's a, in some of them, it may be just as you're just suggesting, we just take a picture, we put it up, and we hope and pray for the best. Mm. And there's not much more that goes along with it.
Yeah.
When you have these videos, I expect the person to at least give me an honest opinion, whether it's good or bad or indifferent, an honest opinion about what it is they eat in. Not every food you eat going to be the best, you understand? And I expect that honesty. How big of a deal do you think that kind of honesty is in your success or failure in a venture like this?
Honesty is everything. Honesty is your reputation. Honesty is the difference between people actually taking your recommendations or not. Food is also a very subjective thing. So there's a gap to bridge between what I may like and what David may like, because I am 100% sure my favorite doubles man and David's favorite doubles man is two different people.
Mm-hmm.
And yours as well would be, so there's three different doubles men we all favor. And I'm pretty sure if we try each doubles man, we'll still go back to our original, because that's what we prefer.
Right.
And on those same boundaries, it have some, you could fall on either side of the fence, if you know what I mean. Either you like it, or it may not be your favorite thing, or is the best thing ever that you've had. What I do personally, I mean, I can't say what other vloggers or food vloggers do, but with me, I am as honest. I am trying to be as transparent as possible, and I let you, the viewer, the business, everybody know what the product is like, whether it's good. But if I have a negative experience, usually I would bring it up with the establishment first, because you always find that if you have a negative experience, most of the time it's something that could be fixed.
Mm.
And it's not something that is, if it's something that is repetitive, well then I don't know how they're still in business. But if it's something that could be fixed, then why would you want to go on social media and bash it when you could help the restaurant or help the business and bring them up instead of pulling them down?
Mm.
So you just kind of have to bridge that gap where you are honest to the viewer as well, but you also try to help the establishment. As I said, we focus on small business. Like, we're going to the big major chains and doing reviews, and we all know how the big major chains fast food tastes. So these small businesses are what you initially said, you know, they may rely on us to help push them out there because they may not have the social media, or they may not have the means to get out there.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of rely on us to help them get out there. So I feel like you have to be honest in your reviews, because you want to be credible at the end of the day, and you want people to actually go and visit the places that you visit. So that is kind of the approach that I take to it.
Yeah. And David?
In 2016, I asked a simple question. Who has the best doubles in Trinidad? That led to the... at that time, one of my largest feedback draws, where it led to cuss outs. People from different areas were adamant that, you know, theirs was the best, and this and that and the other. Now, from that, I was able to put together 4 weekends where I touched on, from the same feedback I was getting, what was considered some of the best in North, South, East, West, Central Trinidad. I brought together some friends from the top chefs in Trinidad to, at the time, other food bloggers or other people, food reviewers, because we just used to review food, you know, and just talk about what we loved. And from that, what I really found from this was not really the best, but I found that Trinidadians are very passionate, number one, about food on the whole, but they're doubles. Mm-hmm. Doubles tends to be a home favorite.
Doubles and roti.
You will find...
Doubles and roti.
Well, yeah, roti. But doubles, because of now, it started as the people's breakfast. And from there, now we have doubles literally almost 24 hours a day. You can find a double somewhere in Trinidad. Mm-hmm. But the point about it is, if I live my whole hometown in St. James, my St. James doubles, man, is the best. My on that corner, you find it is mostly littered with the people of the area. And from then, now, for that passion, people started to express their passion through social media. With that draw, this is how the local food review culture started, came into being. You brought up something there where you said that, you know, it's... like, for example, you and Zach and I, we talk about food quite a lot. And the commercialism aspect of it, which comes in, is actually when people would hire. And there's nothing wrong with it. But what we don't get in Trinidad much, there are some of us that would do it, we pay for the likes, meaning that, you know, you pay me to come to your space. I taste the food and I talk about it. And they expect a good review, right? Sorry to jump into it so quickly. But that aspect has now become quite a popularity, which is the same thing as somebody coming with their phone and saying, I could bring people to your place by taking a picture based on my active social media. And they expect feedback. They expect something back. Most of the time they ask, we started by, we invite you, you come eat for free. But we expect a positive feedback. That comes, and from then, people got to say, okay, I can now become sort of a ad agency for food. And they will come in and say, hey, we are coming here. We would like to talk about your food, bring in video, this, that, the other. And you pay us. From there, that became very popular. So what happens is that you would find a lot of people looking at these things and treating it like, wow, this is a great place to go to. That being said, Trinidad really and truly needs to look at what is going on with the market. The market is there. We love our food. We need to get back to what is really, really good about it, because right now if you notice that everyone says something is good, and we see it's sometimes hit back at the same food bloggers.
Basically, what you're talking about, endorsements. People are being paid to endorse foods, mm-hmm. and I guess that's a natural progression for some.
Mm-hmm.
There are some people who will say, well, listen to me, I enjoy this thing as a passion, but if I can make a little dollar or two out of the thing, turn it into a business. But you would expect that if that's the case, that people be told, at least because the international food bloggers do it. Sonny has done it.
Yeah.
He has said that he was hired by Uzbekistan or this one or whoever, the tourism board, to come in.
Yeah.
But even though he is there, he has the ability to be honest about what it is he's exposed to. And that level of integrity, I think, is important. Mm-hmm. Because you want to maintain your own level of integrity as well, in that you're a sellout, and just because you're there and you're getting paid for these people, you can say whatever you have to say nice about them.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess those are things that people need to navigate on their own.
I'm touching on that point too, is that also what tends to happen, what I've realized that tends to happen, is that, for example, if an establishment invites you to come in, they are going to put on their 100% best effort for you.
Right.
They are going to find the fattest shrimp in the whole box.
Right.
They're going to find the thickest piece of fish filet. And they're going to find the most presentable looking bun ever. And you're going to get an amazing sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
But then you would find that when your average citizen goes in there and they buy a sandwich, they're not going to get that. And that is something that I still have not figured out a way to navigate it. It's very challenging to navigate something like that because I always make it clear to the restaurant, what you're giving me is what you need to be selling to the people. Because at the end of the day, I am not going to review a box of food and it have 10 pieces of shrimp, and when people come, they're getting 5. Because that's not fair. That's not what you gave me.
That's not your brand promise.
Correct. So my pillars is that honesty is the number one thing. I have to be honest, and what you see I got is what you get as well. That is what, I'm a stickler for that.
Mm-hmm.
But as I said, there are certain points that I think as food bloggers are still trying to navigate, and that is one of those points where we are still trying to figure out how to work that out, how to
strike a balance.
Yeah, strike a balance on it, essentially. Most of the businesses I work with, again, small businesses I work with, so most of the businesses I work with, they fully understand and they know that it's going to come down on them if I showcase something or if I review something that they don't give. Because at the end of the day, even though I'm going to get some heat for it, the business space is going to get the most amount of heat for not offering exactly what it is they basically showed or I reviewed.
And the discussion has been a pretty interesting one, getting a look into the workings of what really happens when you all go out and do your business. But you in doing what started off as a hobby and a passion, many of you have become ambassadors for the country. Indirectly, even though you may not consider yourself,
mm-hmm.
you are. Because there are people who have the ability with the internet to sit in any part of the world, click on your video and see what Trinidad and Tobago has to offer. Culinary, yeah. Culinary tourism is a big deal. Yeah. We may not necessarily have tapped into that the way we can or the way we should, but the potential is definitely there. There's another organization called One Trip Vietnam that I was exposed to through Sonny and his they were very instrumental. And what I learned from One Trip Vietnam is that people are coming for experiences.
Mm-hmm.
That's the big deal now in tourism. That's where the driving factor is, the sand and sea and all those parts. I think that has always been there. That will always be there. Right. But there are people who want to come now to see what breakfast is like for this community. They want to see what three meals a day would look like.
Mm-hmm.
And One Trip Vietnam has been able to capture that essence, right, to the point where one of their trip, one of their tours is going to somebody's house to see what the day looks like for meals. That's right. How simple it is, but it's oversubscribed. Here at home, you all, and I say I'm using the term you all loosely because I'm using all the food vloggers as yeah. one. That's the role that you've been playing. Domestic tourism first, because when you put out a video, I have seen people look at this thing and start to dribble and say to themselves, "I have to go here,"
yes.
and that is advertising that I hope these businesses understand, because in times gone by, you can get a pay for that first, and there'll be a whole production team, and then they put it out and all of those Correct. Kinds of things. And now you're doing it. I don't want to say you're doing it for free. But it's wrong side now, in that yeah. the video is put together and then the people come look for it and that kind of thing. We're heading close to the news, but when I get back after the 8 o'clock news, we'll probably encourage some of our callers to be a part of the discussion. I want to find out from you all in the journeys that you've all had, what are some of the most memorable experiences? Mm. And I think those would be very interesting, because there's always something that stands out somewhere somehow in your mind. And I'd like to tap into those a bit. We are speaking this morning, ladies and gentlemen, with two gentlemen who are flying the flag high. And that is Zach Mustafa, Foodie Tales with Zach. And of course, we have David Wares, photographer, food blogger as well. A couple messages, news, and then we continue our discussion. Stay with us.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.
Welcome back. We continue our discussion. This is a very, very interesting topic, vlogging, in particular food vlogging, because we, as I said, you know, we have a lot of that in the country. Our special guests this morning have been giving us a deep insight into some of what they do and how they get it done. And before we went to the news, I was asking that, you know, tell us, you've been doing this for a number of years, both of you. I'm sure that you'd have some very memorable experiences, some that, for whatever reason or the other, will remain with you. Tell us about some of those. Who wants to go first? That
I will say, I think my most memorable experience would be when Mark Weens visited, because I was fortunate enough to help to assist with his itinerary, and then I was also fortunate enough to be there with him on every day of the trip in Trinidad. I think that was as exposing as it was for him to be part of Trinidadian culture, it was really good for me as well, because there are certain places that I never visited, like Paramin, and I visited with him for the first time, which kind of seals in my memory. You know, the first time I've been to Paramin was with Mark Weens, and we touched on basically every corner of Trinidad, and it was for a period of about 9 days, consistently starting at like 6 a.m. to like 10 a.m. every day. Some days we ran to like 2 a.m. And that, I think, was the happiest time I've ever had in food culture in Trinidad, because I was exposed to every single part of our culture, from Paramin to we were just talking about Auntie Dolls in Faizabad. Yeah, so we touched on everything. We touched on doubles from in Port of Spain, doubles in Arima, doubles in South, doubles in Central. So it was a very all-round really good experience for Mark, and as I said, for myself as well. I think that's the most memorable thing I have with food, and it was also fairly recently, which was just last year.
Mm-hmm.
So that is still sealed in my mind up to this day.
Yeah. And David?
Well, I will echo in terms of an international, having to assist an international food blogger David Hoffman. David's been here. I was fortunate to be part of that team together with Chef Jason Peru, who David got in contact with when he was when he had interest in coming to Trinidad. And like Zach, there's a funny story where I was asked to put together the itinerary. So I put together the itinerary for, this was 10 days of about 25 or 30 different locations, different stops. And I remember sending it to Jason, who sent it to David. And the feedback was that, guys, I'm seeing a lot of spaces in between here. Can we do a bit more? And at the end of that 10-day trip, we did Trinidad and Tobago, over 50 locations. David didn't stop. These guys, David and Mark, they literally, they sleep very little. In fact, when we dropped David back off at the Airbnb, I would call him, so what's up? Well, I'm across at One Woodbrook Place here. Somebody picked me up and partied, you know, that kind of thing. He was a very engaging person. So we were fortunate in terms of a lot of the mainstream media followed us as well as, and we went to Trinidad and Tobago. I think, yes Mark
went to Tobago. I didn't go to Tobago, right. Mark did visit.
And it was amazing to literally introduce him. And again, like Mark, we introduced him not only into commercial food places, but also to people's homes. Next, Bread and Chana, Dolls Chula, which is a small family, but now becoming very, very popular in the Siparia Faizabad area. They cook everything on chulhas. When you walk in there and you get that smell.
That aroma, yeah.
Oh my God. And you know, and to see him react, I mean, the end result is these guys are just like us. They just want to eat, they just want to see. And it brings about that, when you're talking about wanting the experience of food. That is what we all try to emulate, to show off. That this is what Trinidad is about. We are a very engaging society. To wake up 3 o'clock in the morning to go to Aranjuez to eat with the... Charitas, you know. They open 3 o'clock in the morning because people who... is either they come in from parties or people going to work and, you know, would want to buy. They have lunch available from 3 o'clock in the morning. You understand? Police, everyone just stops there. It's like a, it's almost like a congregation point for people to carry David in there, carry him into the kitchen, because they don't just want to see the food or to eat. They also want to
see the process.
Exactly.
They want to see how it happens.
And we are fortunate to really and truly engage with a lot of these international, boy, Chris De La Rosa.
Yeah.
He's out of Canada. Trinidadian, but he has one of the biggest followings in terms of recipes. He does strictly all of the Caribbean recipes.
I think there's a lesson in there for persons who are involved already and persons who want to get involved, that success in this thing and to get to the kind of heights that some of these names that you've called, Mark Weens and David's been here and others, their drive, many times you don't get to see that because that's not captured. You get to see the videos, you get to see the process, and you get to see them tasting the food and enjoying it, but you don't get to see the hard work that goes into capturing all these things.
Correct.
And video production is a tough thing. It is. For persons who have never been involved in video production, to put together a news story, yeah, it takes so many different takes, much less for something that happens as it takes place, and you have to capture it as you go along. But it speaks, again, to the experiences these gentlemen had while they were here. And what did they have to say? Apart from the official reviews and what we saw on camera behind the scenes, interacting with them, what was it like dealing with these international, I don't want to say superstars, but they're very well known.
Food stars.
Yeah.
They are international superstars. I mean, these guys have at least 1 million, 2 million followers on maybe all their platforms.
Every platform.
Yeah. You understand? So these are guys who... They live off of engagement. They are not just people who come, eat, and then walk away. We had some of that issue with Anthony when he came to Trinidad because they tend to...
That's real production.
They kept him in a bubble. But again, that was because he moved from Food Network when he was freer. to CNN.
Mm-hmm.
And CNN had to keep that balance of not just food, but also going into what the political climate, because they came here on, I believe, on more than one level,
mm-hmm.
right? But these guys come to Trinidad. David came here, he paid his way to Trinidad. They hired myself, they hired Jason. He knew Jason. Now, we are all good friends. But the point about it, he saw the interest of the Caribbean market. And, well, he started with Trinidad. And from this, he had gone to Grenada, Barbados, Dominica, a couple others. I can't remember. But the thing about it is, the interest was not just coming from Trinidad when he came to Trinidad. It came from the Trinidad diaspora all over the world and then the Caribbean diaspora. This has built quite a market. For me, personally, I have had three tours, international tours, meaning people who came to Trinidad based on, one was based on, they wanted to taste doubles. They came from Thursday to Tuesday. A couple from New York, lawyers, Jews, which is what was really interesting. And they came down here to taste doubles. I mean, we went many different places. But the point about it here, the market is here, not just for us as Trinidadians. We have something here that the world needs to see.
Yeah, I honestly believe that. And culinary tourism is, I think, something that we've not begun to scratch the surface of.
Definitely not.
Yeah, you were telling us about some very interesting ventures that you have ongoing as well.
Yeah, so in as I said, piggybacking off of the culinary tourism, I have been trying to personally, from my page, trying to push that culinary tourism. I actually have a lot of my followers on Instagram are actually from outside of Trinidad, some from Africa, some from Canada. I have some from the UK. It's spread throughout. So what I have started is a food tour to Toko. So we take you from Matura all the way to Grand River. We used to go all the way to Matlot, but the roads in December, with the weather, the Big Maxis, the 25-seaters can't pass there. So we reach up to Grand River, and what I do is we have a tour where we stop. We have about 5 stops in between there. Where we do like different country style sweets, like so you get like pay me, pone, sugar cake, boiled and roasted corn, you get pineapple chow that this guy infuses with salt prunes and Chinese mango. We have preservatives like preserved plums and stuff. All this is like country styled, made. Everybody who makes these are small roadside vendors that I went and essentially selected from the community. And then we go up, we have lunch by Seaside Flames, which is where Auntie Kays is in Rampanalgas.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lunch stop that is after at Waimea Beach, where you sit down and you have lunch at the beach. And then from there we have homemade ice cream by Miss Bess in Lance Noor. From there we go to Grand River Chocolate Station, where we have a sampling of our chocolate tea, and then they have like ice cream, they have cocoa ice cream, they have wines on sale, homemade wines like garlic wine, pimento wine, cocoa wine, and I'm not talking about chocolate wine, I'm talking about the cocoa fruit itself, the pulp. They actually extract that off of the seed and they ferment it and they make a wine with it. So this is a tour that I offer at least two Sundays for the month, where I have 2 maxis. Usually we do 2 maxis and we make a trip up. And I have had people from New Zealand, from Australia, from Hawaii, and these are people who have also seen David Hoffman and Mark Wien's videos, because this tour was featured in one of Mark Wien's, one of his videos was entirely on this tour alone. So people have seen it and reached out and they want to come on this tour.
Mm-hmm.
And for the carnival period, we did, I think, 5, within that 2 months, we did 5 tours. And I would say those tours were international tourists or the diaspora coming home to do it. So Trinis who live in away, Canada, UK and stuff, they're coming on and they want to do it. Even we had people who used to live in Toko, and there was a man who came and he sat down and he was crying because he was like, he never thought he would get to come back home and see Toko. And he's been gone for like 30 nice. Something years. That's, you know, beautiful. So is little moments like that is Javier kind of keep pushing towards it. So I'm also starting off some tours to go to Tobago, So, and these are strictly food tours, well, specifically food tours. So I am trying with my page to now branch out from just doing food reviews and food content to now merging it into a business where I can also push our culinary, our amazing food out to the world. And even as you said, we start right here.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the people who go on the tours are just from right here.
Yeah.
People love their belly, people love to eat.
The important thing before you continue is that he not just target international market, but he's also featuring grassroots people. This is people who operate in their house right behind them. You understand? These are not any sort of commercial, and that is the beauty of it. We push in our own, and we expect from that it will build. We want these people to build. We are pushing these people so that they could grow, they can build something. You understand?
And I'm very intrigued by these things because I understand the potential of how quickly these things can grow. Domestic tourism, if people are more aware, I am positive that there are people in this country who've never experienced what you're talking about.
A lot of people who go on my tours, they tell me that I've never been to Tokyo in my life, and I've lived in here 40, 50 years now.
Yeah.
And it was like, I've never been up this side. I've never... And exactly what David said is that the vendors that we use on that side, the guy who does the pone digs the cassava from his backyard.
Correct.
And the corn, he has a corn field high up the hill in his backyard. So he pulls that corn and he comes down the hill and boils it.
Yeah. I haven't been to Tokyo in a while.
It's definitely experience. It's a very breathtaking experience.
Mm-hmm.
And how we put it on is that you get to taste a little section of Tokyo from all the way from Matura, go straight up to Grand Revere.
Yeah, the last time that I was there, the people that I was with, apparently there's a lady who sells homemade ice cream on the way.
Mm-hmm.
The sour sop ice cream that she had, I tell you, I could compete with the best brand that you could find anywhere else. And then driving up, I think it's before the resort on your left-hand side, there's a young lady who sells out of a very small place in front of her house. And she has all kinds of things. I can't remember the name of the young, but when you go there, you just want to buy one of everything.
Correct.
Because these are things that you don't see all the time, and when you taste them, you know that they taste home.
It's the original country style flavor.
It is. It's not commercialized. You could tell, and there really are some experiences. I often say that we need to reevaluate what we market.
Correct.
From Trinidad and Tobago, because
and
we have so much more.
Auntie Kay's, we did a seafood platter for Mark, which had, it was mostly local lobster and crayfish and shrimp and stuff like that.
She's the one right opposite the beach.
Right? Correct. That's by Arthur's Bar, and her food is amazing.
Yeah,
absolutely amazing.
In my television days, I had the opportunity to go up to Matura to do Matlot, actually, to do a feature on the turtles.
Right.
And on the way back, we stopped. That was a long time ago, and we stopped.
Yeah, she's been there for a long time.
And she treated us like if that's your mother. You know, it was really, really nice, and it is an experience to go by her. Her food is exceptional.
Of course,
it really is. So, gentlemen, as we wrap up our interview here this morning, Let's speak to the nation, and this program is listened to far and wide. We have a number of listeners internationally who might be intrigued. They may be coming back home and want to experience some of these things. People here at home, I speak to people, and when you tell people about some of the things that exist, it's news to them. Some people live their entire lives and do not experience much of what we have here at home, much less for people coming in from abroad, as persons whose passion takes them all over the place. What would you say to people who are looking for their first adventure or their next adventure? Where should they start?
We need to... The pandemic is over. You should certainly come out of your house and jump in a car. You don't need to really jump in a plane, jump in a boat. Well, you could go across to Tobago, but what you could find in Trinidad will be eye-opening, because a lot of what we sell are not just what you're eating, but it's also the engagement. It's also being able to sit down and old talk, being able to engage with those that, you know, who at this for this encounter who are feeding you, listen to the stories, bring back, you know, those old time days. That is what happens when you meet at these points. Like Zach's is really something that you could look into. I mean, we all do it. We all do the same thing. What do? We bring people. We are pushing our own element, and that's the most important thing. We're pushing that Trini brand.
I think people need to really get on my page and check out my reviews and visit those places.
Shameless push.
Yeah. But honestly, support your small businesses. Mm-hmm. Go out there, try new places. Support your neighbor. If your neighbor have a food venture, support your neighbor. Buy that box of barbecue. Try to support your local. Leave the big chains out. The big chains have enough. You could get those at any time. Invest your money wisely when it comes to food. Try the small locations. Try those businesses that really need that $20-$25 box of food sold, because it's going and dump after and they can't afford to dump it.
Yeah.
You understand? And I think that we really need to support local, as David said, before we try to support anything other than local. And that's the stance that I take with my page, and I think that's what we should continue pushing in Trinidad. Support our own, push as best as we can our neighbor, our friends. Support your friends' businesses, support your friends' ventures. Even if you can't buy your food, share a post on Facebook, share a post on Instagram, share something to actually get the word out there. We live in a day of technology, so getting information is much easier than when you had to go and look in an encyclopedia.
Yeah, and I hope that after listening to the discussion, people take the opportunity, be it on a holiday, as we had yesterday, be it on a weekend, a Sunday. We have the vacation coming up, the July, August vacation, for people to take advantage of. Learn about the country that you live in.
Correct.
There is a lot to experience in this country, and people just, either they don't know or they just don't care to find out. But there is. And I can tell you, I try my best as much as possible to learn as much as I can about the place that I live in. I continue to be amazed by the many things that we have in this country that can excite people and provide entertainment. Somebody just sent a message saying that because of your videos, Zach, they on their own planned with a group of retirees, there's Shark River, and they went a couple places that they saw on your trip, and they patronized and they had a wonderful time. And I hope that people take more action in this regard. And have fun, because we're in a time when people are looking for affordable things to do. Right. And taking a drive, you had to eat, you might as well buy food on the way. So turn it into an experience. I want to thank both of you for being with us here this morning.
Thank you for having us.
It was an insight into something that I honestly believe there needs to be more attention given to.
Thank you very much.
100% agree.
Yeah. And that's where we end our interview here this morning, ladies and gentlemen.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.